Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Good morning, family. Everybody else rested up from barn party last week? Excellent. What a good time, right? I had a couple people ask me how many people we think were at barn party last week here on site. And there are a couple different ways that we try to measure that. One is hot dogs. Another is how many water bottles got drunk. Yes. And then the one that I really probably put the most faith in is we are really blessed to have an amazing police department here in Orlando, and the Orlando Police Department comes out and helps provide security for us. And last week we had a number of officers that were here on site helping us out. I'm really grateful to them for that. And they do these kind of events on a pretty regular basis, and so I always like to go up to them and say, so how many people do you think are here? And they told me they thought probably about 5,000 was what was their kind of their estimate. So yeah. So it was amazing, and it wouldn't have happened without you. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for bringing chili. Thank you for bringing cookies. Thank you for volunteering. And helping run the different things that have to be run during that. It was just an amazing time, and we have just received so much positive feedback from our community. So thank you so much for being a part of that. I am talking, this is my penultimate sermon in a four-part series. Those of you know I'm going to work that word in. So it is our next to last sermon in a four-part series on the life of Elisha. And I want to talk about a story. There's so many different miracles that he performed, but I want to talk to you today about a story that I feel like summarizes Elisha best. And to start off with, I think I need to give you a little visual illustration. Can we do a little visual illustration? So a couple years ago, our staff was having a Christmas party, and we were having it at Tammy and Jeff's house, and Jeff always has the coolest toys, right? And I'd never seen a VR headset really before this. And Jeff pops it out and has it, fires it up and lets a couple people put it on. And apparently what they were seeing, we're gonna put up here on this screen, because Randy's gonna demonstrate for legal reasons it has to be one of my staff that is expendable. not really Randy, okay, but anyway. So this is the actual thing that Jeff had us do. So you're at the bottom of this skyscraper, and Randy's going to go ahead and get in the elevator and go to the top. Okay. So you're seeing what he's seeing, except for him, it's, you know, virtual reality. It feels all encompassing. So I'm watching at Jeff and Tammy's house. I'm watching this happen. I can see on the screen, kind of like you can see right now, what the person wearing it is wearing it. And everybody started acting really scared right here. They started feeling, and I saw people like shaking, and Randy, by the way, Randy is not faking this. This is not his favorite thing. He had to get hazard pay for this. And I'm sitting there thinking, come on, I mean, but people are like just kind of like freaking out. They start getting scared when they step towards the. Go ahead and take a couple. Just move forward really quickly, Randy. Just move
quickly.
You're okay, Randy. You're on the stage. You're fine. Just
yep.
Doesn't matter what you do. You're fine.
Yep.
All right. Go ahead and stop right there for a second. Let's see. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Randy's done this a bunch of times and he's helping me make a point, so he's kind of overreacting here. Justin, where'd you go? Have you done this before? Come on up, Justin. We're going to try it out. One of the other reasons why Randy's doing this is because there's a lot of tech stuff. There's like, I don't understand, but anyway. So, no, just stay where you're at, Randy. You're just, yeah. Oh, okay, you're going to step back on?
Well, yeah.
You're fine. Randy, just take, okay, there you go. All right.
Okay,
all right, so here we go. So we're going to try, Justin, go ahead. Let's come over here really quick. We're going to, all right. So.
Oh, jeez.
Well,
I didn't know you were in the elevator. All right, cool.
I know some of you think that Randy's just acting. So here's what's going to happen. Justin, we're going to have you stand right next to Randy. Randy, let's go ahead and have him really quick. All right. Just remember, Justin, there is a microphone there, so anything you say or scream.
So when you go back
this
in,
is a,
you'll hit the button on the side, so you get over on your left that says, what is it, reality?
We're going to see if this works out.
Yep, okay. Mixed reality, hit that off, take your hand, reach out.
Right, like that.
Yep, hit the button, okay?
All right.
And then turn to your right and go on up. Hit, there's...
Oh.
All right. So Justin, this is a bit of an experiment because we did not practice this with Justin. All right. Justin, I have good news for you. You're still on the stage at Whole Life. You're right there. So just go ahead and step out, step right onto that. Go ahead. No, just take a big step. Don't worry. You're fine. You really are fine. No, seriously, you're fine. Just take a step. You're
How
good.
How did you get the wood plank?
Do you feel scared?
A little.
But you're on the stage at Whole Life.
There's no way.
Does it make you feel better if I hold on to you?
No,
it doesn't? Okay, I'll let go of you then. So here's what I want you to do, Justin. I want you to actually step off. Because you are fine. You are completely on the stage here. You're fine. So step all the way off.
It doesn't hurt that much.
Just step right off.
It doesn't hurt that much. No.
Just step right off. Awesome. Thank you. Give him a hand. We're going
to. Nice job, Jeff.
Thank you. But Justin, you were here on the stage the whole time.
It didn't seem like it.
It didn't seem like it. So let's see if you have a microphone for me, Randy. Okay, perfect. So Justin, really quick, do you think Randy was faking what he was doing over there?
No, honestly, it's so real. It's hard. Yeah.
What? So. Did you in your own, because this is the same thing that happened to me when I did it. I was like, come on, you know where you're at. You're in a living room. You're fine. It's not that big a deal. But it really feels like catastrophe is imminent, right?
No, honestly, yes. Like, I don't know if you guys have tried it either, but it's like, you see the plank. I mean, yeah, I could see a little bit of the stage underneath the headset, but still, it was so immersive. Being able to take that step, that was scary.
Scary. So there's what we see and what we know. When they're in conflict, it can be a difficult thing, can't it?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to send you back to your... thank you. Justin, know there's a whole bunch of teenagers and kids here who are insanely jealous of you right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be fearless, but Lord, the world around us can feel very scary. Help us to trust you and have faith in you. We pray in your name. Amen. So this particular story about Elisha, what I love so much about it is that it summarizes who he is faith-wise, and it also shows the tender, kind part of who he is as well. And you'll see what I'm talking about here in a second. But if you have your Bibles and you want to make sure that I'm not making this story up, you're welcome to go to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, as where we're going to are in that area is where we're going to start. So 2 Kings chapter 6. At the very beginning of chapter 6, we see Elisha bringing an axe head back to the top of the water. He performs that miracle. But then it continues into this story. And here's what kind of happens. There's a foreign king that's been oppressing the Israelites, or the Israel. And this king has been sending raiders into Israel to steal, kill, maim, do all those sort of things. But a weird thing starts happening. Whenever he sends his army, the king of Israel has an army there waiting for him, or there's nobody there. And it gets so bad that eventually the king of Aram calls all of his advisors together, all his generals, and goes, "Hey, I know one of you is a snitch. I know one of you is leaking information to the king of Israel about all of our plans. So which one of you is it so that we can get rid of the mole and we can move on with our military expeditions?" And obviously they become very afraid because if the king thinks it's them, he's going to kill them. And apparently some of them had some sort of inside knowledge. And they said, no. See, king, here's what's really going on. There's a prophet in Israel. His name is Elisha. And he goes and tells the king of Israel all your plans. He knows the things you say in your bedroom, he reports to the king. So it's him. It's not us. Please don't kill us. It's this guy named Elisha. And apparently the king trusts them and believes them. And he says, okay, fine. So let's do this then. In order for us to start winning some battles in Israel, we're going to need to go ahead and get rid of Elisha. So what I'm going to do is we're going to have a sneak attack. Find out where this guy is at, and we're going to send our armies. We're going to capture him, probably kill him, and then we can do what we want from there. Now, I don't really understand what this guy was thinking, because if Elisha knew, right? But this is how the story goes. He sends his army to where he hears that Elisha's at in a town called Dothan. And he does it late at night, gets all the forces around the city. And the next morning, when everybody wakes up, there are the Armenian army surrounding this town of Dothan. And there are a lot of soldiers there. There are a lot of chariots there. It is a terrifying sight. In fact, the Bible records that when Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning, he goes outside and he tells Elisha, he runs back and says, "What are we going to do? We're in trouble." Are you surrounded by armies right now? Have you recently said, "What am I going to do?" What makes you feel surrounded right now? What makes you feel like whatever is going on is hopeless? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's this sin in your life that you desperately want to see go away, but it just stays. You know that it's hurting people around you, but you can't seem to overcome the way that you think that you should be able to overcome. Maybe it's a parenting relationship. Maybe it's some other kind of family relationship. But in my experience, there's not a single person in this room who hasn't been at this place at one point. And my experience would tell me that most of you have this moment happening to you, probably right now. If you haven't, there's probably one on the way. And I'm not saying that to curse you. I'm just saying that's the way life is. I have them. These moments where I think, there's just no way out. This is it. There's more of them than there are of me. There's no way to get around this financial situation. I don't know how to pay this off. I don't know where I'm going to find the money for that. I remember when I first began pastoral ministry, not understanding how taxes worked for pastors. And my first year of being a pastor, I got a $6,000 tax bill that I had not planned for whatsoever. And it was just me. Rochelle was working at home with our kids. It's just my salary. Where am I going to get $6,000 from on the salary that I'm making? I look for loans. I look for, you know, what can I do? I've been in relationship issues where I'm like, this relationship can't be fixed. And so let's not be too hard on this servant when he runs into Elisha and says, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. There's no way out. And Elisha just peeks out the door in my imagination. And he says this, don't worry about it. They're more on our side than on theirs. And that servant had to have been like, you are nuts. Are you going blind, Elisha? Let me assure you, there are not more of us than there are of them. We're in trouble. We need a plan. Is there somewhere we can hide in the city that they might not be able to find us? Is there a way to sneak out? But we're in deep trouble. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open my servant's eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Family, can I suggest to you that we are living in virtual reality? And that what you see is not really what's happening. And I don't blame Randy or Justin for feeling afraid with that virtual goggles on. It's very real. And I don't blame you when you feel terrified of what's facing you. I don't blame you because I get that way too. And I know I'm supposed to, I don't know, have more faith or something. But I want to suggest to you that we do live in virtual reality, that we don't really see the true reality of everything that's going on around us. And when that young man's eyes are opened, he sees chariots of fire. By the way, I had a couple of you ask why God never sent a chariot of fire for Elisha, but he did. Elisha was constantly surrounded by chariots of fire. Yes, Elijah got a ride in one to heaven, but Elisha, his entire life, was surrounded by chariots of fire. Open their eyes so they can see. God did send chariots of fire for Elisha. So what happens next? Elisha prays and says, Lord, make them blind. Do you see what's happening here? His servant's eyes are opened, and now he's about to close the eyes of an entire army. And when I was growing up, I thought that God really struck them with blindness, where they were completely blind. But in studying for this sermon, what I realized is that the way that this is structured in the original language that it was written in was that it also can possibly mean that God made it so they couldn't distinguish reality. And I really like that a lot because it fits with the other thing. God opens the servant's eyes to see the true reality, and then God closes the eyes of this army to see the other reality. And to me, it just makes sense that these soldiers in this army could actually see, but then they couldn't actually process what they were seeing. Because Elisha walks out to them and says, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" They said, "Oh, we're here to capture Elisha." And Elisha goes, "I know exactly where he's at." Now, if you're blind, completely blind, I don't know if you'd be having the same conversation. But they don't recognize him. They're befuddled with what's going on. And they follow. Elisha goes, "Here, don't worry. I'll take you where you need to go. We're just going on a little walk." He walks them into the capital city of Israel, puts them right in front of the king of Israel. And then he says, "Okay, God, go ahead and open their eyes." And they realize that they are the ones now who are surrounded. Now there's far less of them, far more. They're in the middle of the city. And the king of Israel is ecstatic. "What can I do? Elisha, do I get to kill them all right now?" And this is one of the reasons I love this story so much and why I think it speaks so much to who Elisha was. Elisha says, "No, absolutely not. Do we kill prisoners of war? We don't do that. No. Give them a feast and send them home." Keep in mind, this is an army that was sent to kill him. So this is an army that was sent to kill him. And he doesn't ask for them to be executed. He doesn't destroy them there on the spot. He exercises what I would call Christian love, because he doesn't even just say, "Now don't do that again, now get out of here." He actually throws a party for them, a feast, and then sends them on their way. So family, what are you afraid of today? What's holding you back? What would you do differently if you knew that you couldn't fail? What would you do differently if you knew that the God of angel armies had a chariots of fire surrounding you? As a kid, did you ever have like an older friend or even a parent that when you were with them, you always knew you were safe? And you would sometimes maybe taunt the other kids that were bigger than you? Because you knew you were safe as long as you were with them, they were with you. If God is with you, what's holding you back? And I know, because that virtual reality is pretty real. I know that. But what would it take for you in faith to step off of the plank? Knowing that you're going to feel like you're falling, but God's going to catch you, that you're going to be okay, that there are angel armies surrounding you to blind your enemies, to help you succeed, to help you do what you need to do. And then when God does that for you, will you be kind to those who haven't been kind to you? Will you forgive those who God has given you the victory over? Or are you going to use God's goodness to get payback? Family, the lesson of Elisha here is just this. There are more on our side than theirs. And that's one of the reasons I don't have to get even. Because the God that delivered me once can deliver me again. Family, whatever burden or whatever fear it is that you're facing today, I invite you to have God open your eyes and see the truth that you are surrounded by angel armies.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life Takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.